WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
That's music by Tom Waits, recorded on a plastic flexi-disc found in a new book of photographs by Sylvia Plahy. Waits composed the music at Plahy's request to accompany her book Unguided Tour. Plahy is a staff photographer for the Village Voice, where she has a weekly photo feature that is also called Unguided Tour. That feature showcases her pictures of people and scenes she runs into on the streets of New York. But she also goes on assignment to take pictures for stories by reporters for The Voice and other magazines. Her book includes her street photos, as well as portraits of well-known people, such as composer Virgil Thompson, the German director Rainer Werner Fassbinder, writer William Burroughs, and musician Tom Waits. I asked her how she goes about taking these portraits.
I try to know as much about them as possible, so I have an idea who they are, and I usually have an hour or less than an hour to spend with them, and I just try to see something that's clicks as a truth about them.
Well, let me give an example. You have a picture of the late actor and writer Charles Ludlam. Now, he was the founder of the Ridiculous Theater Company.
Right.
They used to do very funny, campy send-ups of classics. Like, he had a fabulous production of Camille, in which he starred in the title role in drag. And you show him backstage putting on his fake bosoms.
Mm-hmm.
And he has one hand glamorously fluffing his hair, but of course he's bald, you know. So he's like fluffing his bald head. What was the inspiration for that shot?
Well, I was there, and I was backstage photographing, and he was just camping it up for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love to photograph backstage. I think it's much more interesting than being up front and watching the play.
Why is that?
It's just I'm more interested in the seams of things and when they are not quite finished or perfect, but how it's put together and to feel, to sense the emotions that go on back there.
Often your photographs are of people you've just run into on the street. Is there a kind of street etiquette when you want to take the photo of someone who you don't know?
Yes, it's somewhat awkward all the time, which is the drawback of being a photographer. I usually kind of ask and take the picture at the same time, because if you ask, people will pose and change whatever they are doing. So if you manage to evolve into a kind of a gesture or discover a gesture that will sort of ask, and then people will forgive you and let you take the picture. Usually most people don't mind.
Now, I know you grew up in Hungary. When and why did you leave?
We left in 1956, after the Hungarian Revolution. My parents decided that they were not ready to go through another wave of repression. And so pretty much at the end of the time when people could leave, we left. We had to still escape, and by then they were putting up mines again at the border, and there were border guards there who were shooting up flares, and so we had to walk, I think, something like 5 miles to the Austrian border and escape that way.
How old were you?
I was 13.
How vivid are your memories?
They're probably more vivid of that time than things that happened yesterday. I remember pretty much, I remember a lot of things from my childhood because it was so abruptly ended. So I hung on to it and probably spent obsessed over it more than most children as they go into adolescence and adulthood.
Did you have photographs of, you know, from your life in Hungary when you emigrated?
I didn't have too many photographs, and I had to, and I didn't take pictures then. I got my first camera in Austria from my father. Bought me an Agfa box camera, with which I took my first pictures. And but before that, I didn't, and I've always regretted that I wasn't a photographer when the revolution took place, because I was there when they pulled down the statue of Stalin in this big square, and we were all singing the national anthem, and so all those events, and I saw dead bodies on the street covered with lime, and I saw the tanks roaming in, and I saw the people being so excited, and it was all vividly in my mind, but I never could take a picture of it. And then this past year, when all these things have changed in Eastern Europe, I've been back several times this year, and from the middle of last year, and I was there one time with a writer from the Village Voice, James Ridgway, and we were walking around. And I was showing him where I was born and where everything happened. And we walked up to the square where the statue of Stalin was pulled down, and it was there. They were filming a movie about the 56 revolution, and they had a copy, a papier-mâché copy of the statue of Stalin, and they had all these extras in 1956 costumes and singing the national anthem, and it was like they produced it for me. It was a wonderful thing to have my second chance and see my life as a movie.
So did you photograph it?
Of course. I was totally overexcited about it. But
was it difficult for you to find a place for yourself professionally when you started to try to make a living as a photographer?
Yes, it was very difficult at first, because I had to make a living, and it's difficult to break in and do work as in something that you love. So I had to have other jobs somewhere, and it took me a long time to have the courage to go around, to show my work, and to also, while I was doing my regular job, which was working at the Girl Scouts of the USA doing statistics, I used up pretty much all my energy. And when I would go out at night, I did not have any more creative juices left, and I would never see any pictures. Now the problem seems to be more like the opposite of seeing too many things and just not having the energy to take it all.
Now I want to ask you about another photograph.
Mm-hmm.
You have a picture of a shack under the Williamsburg Bridge in Brooklyn, and written in graffiti on the shack is AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
How did you stumble on the shack?
Yes, I was there.
It's not very safe to be walking under the bridges in New York. What were you doing there?
Well, I wasn't walking. I was fortunately in my car. I was driving around. I believe I was with Guy Trebe, with whom we have done a lot of stories for the Village Voice, and we were doing a story on Greenpoint and Williamsburg, and so we were driving around and probably looking to see if we could find some prostitutes, but as we were driving under the bridge, I saw this, and I got out and I had my tripod, fortunately, with me, and took this picture, because it was it just was such an ominous image. It also reminded me of a Star of David or something that they used to paint on buildings in the wartime, things like that. It had an ominous quality about it.
So somehow this signified to you that someone had written that, implying that the person who lived inside had AIDS.
It felt like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea whether they did or not. The building looked a little frightening and disturbing.
So I see sometimes when you take a photo, you build a narrative in your head about what the story might be about, even when you don't
really
know what it is.
I guess it's just thinking about what it might be. something that you see leads you to remember something that you've seen before, and then it's connecting those things.
Photographer Sylvia Plahi, she's a staff photographer for the Village Voice. Her new collection of photos is called Unguided Tour. It's published by Aperture. Well, here's more of the Tom Waits plastic flexi disc included with the book. This is Fresh Air.